How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road. 102.5, 106.3 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 the game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our good friend Max Herz, who handles the pre and post game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network, was also on the call for play by play on the radio over the most recent road trip for the Predators. Max, good morning. How are we doing?
Morning, guys. I'm good. Good to be back in Nashville.
Good to have you back with us. So, Max, the Preds get back in the win column with a 2-1 win against the Rangers on Saturday. Juuso Parsonen making his NHL debut, and what a debut it was. The goal, obviously, was the highlight of it for Parsonen, but overall, what did you make of his game and specifically the trust level from the coaching staff to give him as much responsibility as they did in this first game?
Yeah, and first of all, overall, it was an amazing game. It was a really entertaining game. It was a 2-1 game. It was close. There were chances. There were two fights in the second half of the game. I thought it was an incredibly entertaining game on basically every count. But on the Parsonen in front, John Hines didn't really mince words at the morning skate. He wasn't going to give out his lines, and we also didn't know at the time that Yakov Trenin wasn't going to be able to play with an injury, so maybe that's why he didn't give out all the lines. But he came out and said, Parsonen is going to play with Granlund and Forsberg, and he was not trying to keep that a secret. He wanted the team to know. He wanted Parsonen to know. He wanted the public to know. We're going to use this guy, and he ends up playing on the top power play as they kind of cut the main power play unit in half. He plays every single shift with Forsberg and Granlund. They did not skip him at all. He took a lot of face-offs. Granlund helped him with some of those, which is good. But he played a true top six center role, which is unbelievable to think about in his NHL debut. But the fact that he does what he does in the first period, picks up the puck in the D zone, goes coast to coast, scores a beautiful goal against an NHL veteran and almost gets his head taken off by Jake Trouba in the process, like, that reaffirms the commitment to use him in a regular role. And I was so impressed with what they did.
Well, there's been a lot of buzz about him, of course, Max. And, yeah, like you said, I mean, you can't have much more gratifying a debut, especially for a team that's just so badly needed a win, needed some positivity. What do you think, just in terms of, and I know, you know, who knows what may happen in a week, in a month, but what do you think in terms of him sticking and actually really helping this team this year?
Yeah, I mean, he'll get the sample size to do it. I mean, in a slightly lesser role, we've seen it with Mark Jankowski these last five games. They've called him up, and from the first game he played in Calgary, he's taken a ton of really important faceoffs. He's taken a lot of D-zone draws. He's gotten a ton of D-zone starts, and he's found a home on a line with Colton Sissons moving down to make room for him. So they're not afraid to use the guys who are going to give the team a spark. And the way they've used the roster right now, they have three extra forwards. They're only carrying six defensemen. Mark Borowiecki still hasn't skated with the team. So they've got the ability to use who they want to use. And I think for as long as Parsonen shows that he can do even a fraction of what he did Saturday night, they're going to use him. They're going to use him in that role, and they're going to give him a chance to be guy number six in the top six.
Max Herz on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Max, how important was that game just for UC Saros specifically on Saturday night to play as well as he did and to shut the door on the Rangers?
Yeah, he needed that one big time. And it was a pretty high shot volume game, too. The Preds were heavily outshot. Saros ends up with 34 saves and a 2-1 win. He just hadn't been himself his last couple starts, and they sat him out for basically as long as he possibly could because he didn't make it through the first period on Tuesday. Kevin Lankinen didn't allow a goal the rest of the game on Tuesday. Then Lankinen starts the game on Thursday. So it had been five-plus periods since Saros has played, and unless he gets hurt, I don't think you're ever going to sit him for longer than that, nor should you. So he had basically the longest sit that he could possibly have, came back with a really positive outing, made some big saves. Some pucks kind of rolled on the Rangers that would have been big opportunities for them. But I thought that Saros was his old self in a close, low-scoring win, and they needed it from him to win that game.
So, Max, as Robbie said, you were on that trip, did a fantastic job with the play-by-play, as always. So you were around the team a lot, and you know there were ups and downs in that trip, but some real downs. What was your sense for, I guess, just how they handled that and how they came out of it and how important Saturday was just in terms of bringing confidence and positivity back to the group?
Yeah, well, thank you, first of all. And my answer to the question is they just had some stretches of that trip where they totally lost control of games. And most of the time, it was the first period. In the Canucks game, they were able to come back from 3-0 down after one. And then, in games where they played well in the first period, like in Colorado on Thursday, the second period was terrible. And they gave up 4 goals in a row in that period, and the game got totally away from them. So to come back, play a home game, to start a homestand, and not have a lapse in your game at all was what they needed. And that's exactly what happened. So the challenge is going to be to do it again, obviously. And you got a division game coming up tomorrow against the Wild. So I think they were able to address just the total fall off in their game for a period of time. And talking about what we were just talking about, it does start with Saros in the back end, but the majority of the goals he gave up, he was hung out to dry in a lot of cases. It was D-zone turnovers. It was odd man rushes. It was the best player on the other team, whoever it was that night, coming in with little to no resistance and being able to go one-on-one with a defenseman and then just kind of taking it from there. So they were able to avoid all of those things on Saturday, and it translates to a win where you feel like you really did control the Rangers. Even though you did give up a lot of chances, you feel like you played a game that you deserved to win, and I think they did deserve to win that game.
Max, obviously, with Parsonen coming in the other night and Trinan being out with a lower body injury, had to move some things around with the lineup. What do you make of kind of that mix together with Niederreiter, Johansson, and Duchesne? You look at the point totals for Duchesne, and they're good. I think there's another level or two that he needs to get to for this team. So what do you make of that makeup of that line, Niederreiter, Johansson, and Duchesne together?
Yeah, they got to get Duchesne going. and maybe that's the line to do it with. I like that combination too, Robbie. I agree with you. But, yeah, they really just got to get Duchesne going. And Johansson and Niederreiter, I think, have played consistently well this season. Even when the team hasn't played well, Johansson has still had some really, really good nights. He was great on Saturday in both ends, offensively and defensively. And Niederreiter with him has been at his best. So I think that's the duo to keep Duchesne with, especially if you want to keep Parsonen with Granlund and then have Forsberg be the third on that line. But, yeah, they need more from Matt Duchesne. He scored 3 goals, 2 of them empty netters, 1 of them a power play goal when the team was down 3 earlier in the season. So they need a whole lot more from him. And I think having Johansson on that line to drive play will set Duchesne up to score more of the goals where he scored last year, where he was more of a finisher and less of the onus to create the play is going to be on him every time at even strength.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask, in the attempt to create those plays, is he trying to do too much at times, you think?
Yeah, he's been obviously he's a left-handed shooter who plays right wing, so you got to live with some of the things that come with playing on that side, but he's brought the puck in on his backhand a lot. He's gotten walled off on his backhand in the offensive zone, and that's led him to either just throw backhands on goal or not get his best shot off, or just try to pass off his backhand, and a lot of those have led to turnovers. So I think it's just better decisions when he gets there, because he hasn't had trouble getting the puck into the offensive zone with possession. He's had a lot of clean entries, but I think having line mates that can help him in that regard, like Johansson, will be the thing that gets him out of that.
Preds get the win on Saturday night. They'll be back at it coming up tomorrow night against the Minnesota Wild. Max, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to join us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yep. Thanks, boys.
Max Herr is our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans and discuss the defensive side of the ball and their performance yesterday against Russell Wilson and that Broncos offense. That's coming up next. Preds fans, don't miss this Wednesday night, 6 o'clock Smashville live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. See your Predator star players up close and personal, plus get autographs and pictures. Preds player guests for Wednesday will be Ellie Tolvanen and Kevin Lankinen. Smashville Live brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, and Superbook Sports. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning. Thanks to Max Herz for joining us in the last segment. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, the Titans defense yesterday, no Bud Dupree. No Jeffrey Simmons. Obviously no Harold Landry. That's been the case the whole year. You have Christian Fulton as a game-time decision. He's out there trying to get it warmed up and give it a go in the pregame. He's ruled out, so he's not playing. He's been your best cornerback the whole year. And yet the Titans still find a way. Zach Cunningham out with the elbow injury. Without five starters, Amani Hooker thrown in there. They allow 10 points against the Denver Broncos. Now, I realize that Denver's offense is bad. And I realize that they have been atrocious all year. But I don't care. Like, an NFL offense with Russell Wilson as the starting quarterback, with as many guys as you were missing yesterday on defense, number one, for you to hold them to 10 points is impressive. Number two, to sack the quarterback six times like they did yesterday, I thought that was outstanding from the Titans defense yesterday. Just outstanding.
No doubt. It's amazing. I mean, they're having to, we've made so much of it the last couple of years, the plugging and playing, but look at how guys are improving too. Even when, like, you sometimes get the plug him in and hey, he was okay, you know, like I'm trying to think of who are the key examples of coming right in and at least being okay. I mean, I think even like left tackle Bobby Hart last year, several guys on defense, but look at how Andrew Adams and yep. Terrence Mitchell seem to have improved over time within the defense to the point where you feel okay with them out there.
Dylan Cole.
And that, who knows what that's going to be. Boy, if they're missing David Long, I mean, at some point, like, you can't keep playing well, right? If you're missing all your people,
you would think.
But Dylan Cole's out there. Great play. You know, He's covering the running back, you know, on third and long. Running back falls, boom, go to the quarterback, gets a sack. Mario Edwards continues to be really good. Picked him up this year. He gets better. DeMarcus Walker, the guy who they identified in the offseason and you know, in camp, you could tell. Okay, they found something here, but he keeps getting better. And so they're getting good play from whoever is out there right now. Basically, they had the one mix-up with Mitchell and who else is on that side? Mitchell and was it Kalu or no?
I think it was Adams, wasn't it?
Was it Adams?
I have to go back and look.
There was definitely a mix-up on the touchdown, you know, so you don't want those. You don't want to give up the big plays on a bust. But, I mean, how could you? I mean, how could you be anything but impressed with this defense? And I think the problem or the thing you want to do as a Titans fan is think, okay, now, what about when this guy comes back, and then what's it going to look like? And the problem is, you know, are more injuries coming? What's more likely, more injuries or healthier down the road? I don't know. The trend isn't good.
It's hard for me to get to healthier. Now, having said all that, you know, Elijah Molden's back in the game yesterday. He's finally active and available for the Titans. And then in the second half, he's trotting off to the locker room with a groin injury. So he's been out this whole time with a groin. He comes back in there, and now the groin's a thing again. I don't know what the severity is, but obviously, like, my first thought when something like that happens is, well, he's going to be out for the next few weeks. If you could get Hooker back, like, I think Andrew Adams is playing well enough at safety We're like, if Hooker comes back, I'm leaving Andrew Adams back at safety, and I'm making Hooker the slot corner, and I'm just going with that for the next little bit here if you're the Titans. Just based on the injury situation that they got right now, like, I think that's what they're going to have to do if they can get Amani Hooker back. Now, that's an if and when that's going to happen with a shoulder injury.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we don't know when he's coming back. Christian Fulton, I think he was close, but you don't want the hamstring to keep acting up over and over again. It's Christian Fulton. I could see Christian Fulton coming back for Thursday, and then you know you have a break. But you could also make the case with a lot of guys, well, you do have a break after this. What if you really shut things down? But I'm with you. I think when Hooker comes back, like, at least you feel like you have some decent flexibility with Mitchell playing better now. You know, McCreary, you're good there. Fulton, you're good there. But I feel like McCreary, Fulton with Hooker in there, and then the way Adams is playing, I think that's probably your best five moving forward.
By the way, on the mix-up, I think it was Molden in there on the play, too.
Molden and Mitchell.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I tweeted it. But anyway, yeah. But I'm absolutely with you on that. Okay, yeah, Corey Curtis texting me. It was Molden. Okay. Well, he's back hurt. What a night. I mean, nightmare season for some of these guys. Like, you know, for Molden, I mean, it's just brutal. I mean, I really thought he was due to have a really nice second year, like Rashad Weaver is having for the Titans, by the way. You know, in his second year after missing all last year basically with an injury, but he's back out. And then Caleb Farley. No matter what you think of Caleb Farley, and it's not been good, I mean, you still, if you're the Titans, hope, you know, you can develop him and figure it out. He has some tools to possibly be a player in the NFL, and now back injury?
It's not good.
Last thing you want to hear.
I couldn't believe how much the Titans dominated the line of scrimmage yesterday just based on the guys that weren't available.
Yeah.
They had Denico Autry in there. I think Mike Herndon tweeted this out this morning, the old PFF stat. I think Autry was credited with 10 pressures on the quarterback yesterday, which is just an absurd number.
He's so dang good.
DeMarcus Walker with a sack and a half yesterday. Rashad Weaver with a sack and a half. You had Mario Edwards in there making big plays. I mean, just their ability, DeMarcus Walker making big plays, their ability to dominate the line of scrimmage with Simmons and Dupree out of that front yesterday was incredible.
It was.
Doesn't speak well of the Denver offensive line, but it was incredible.
No, they're cheeks. But, yeah, the joke was made by – have we ever figured out who made the joke? Great joke.
I don't know what joke you're referring to.
The joke about now this is the game that John Robinson will point to and he plays Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah. I need to find that.
Yeah, we need to give proper credit on that one because that – and then – yeah.
So the joke is like the picture of John Robinson with the goofy smile on his face. It's like,
oh, my gosh.
This is the game that J-Rob is going to use to – justify not paying Jeffrey Simmons.
And now that cap room got lots of cap room.
Look how good that team was.
Good luck, Jeff. Good luck, buddy. We don't need
it was
you.
It was F-Words podcast. Okay. Football and other F-Words.
Yeah, that's outstanding. But look.
And then Buck had the picture of J-Rob.
Okay, there you go. Nice. But, hey, Tier Tart is really good. It's great. The depth, and I'm glad that Corey brought up Terrell Williams earlier. I mean, talk about in the teams in this state, when you talk about Rodney Gardner with the Vols and Terrell Williams here with the Titans, the D-line coaching and just churning out, making players better. I mean, Tier Tart is a good player, but Naquan Jones is able to come in off the bench. Boom, yeah. He gets his sack. You got Murchison there if you need him. Again, you got Strong, who also got hurt, by the way.
Yeah.
But Walker, Edwards, and it's quite a collection of guys up front that can keep throwing at you in waves, even though their edge guys are running out fast.
I got a texter that says, Broncos country, let's cry on the text line. That was good. My call Shock Friday of somebody telling Russell Wilson, Broncos country, let's ride. Plenty of opportunities for that yesterday if you're the Titans. I don't know if anybody actually caught the audio of it. I'm just saying the opportunities were there with as much as they were in the backfield.
It must have happened.
It had to have.
If it happened out there, send us your video and or audio.
Yeah, I hope somebody was mic'd up. Yeah. Maybe when that comes out this week.
We need to find
there
it.
There you go.
Speaking of Russell Wilson, man, the numbers do not tell how bad he was yesterday. He was 21-42, which is not great, for 286 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Legitimately could have thrown at least four interceptions, maybe five. He was awful yesterday. And that team, with him playing this way, they have no hope if this is the quarterback that he is. Because they're married to that contract. He was terrible yesterday.
Yeah, it's again, he makes some plays and made some throws. You're like, okay. But the heave and hope happened way too often. I mean, I guess when you're as bad as they are and you just need a spark, but, man, that's just terrible decision-making. Some great defense. I mean, it's clear that the Broncos receivers have really worked hard on playing defense because they did a heck of a job at DB a few times yesterday. Joshua Kalu's career game was right there for the taking. It just didn't quite happen for him, but brutal, man. Brutal decisions and then just weird missed passes too. You know, he's just erratic and he looked a little bit like Russ in a couple of those escapes from the pocket, but yeah, it's pretty bad.
I mean, the one touchdown they scored was the 66-yarder where there's just a bust in coverage. Other than that, they got nothing done offensively.
Yeah.
I mean, Courtland Sutton.
They're bad.
Courtland Sutton made a great catch. That was one.
He did.
I don't know how he came down with that ball on Roger McCreary, but now, important to also keep in mind Judy out of the game. He was out of the game early yesterday, so you know, I don't know what ultimately the difference would be if he was in there, but I would imagine it'd be some.
Could be
with
some.
Jerry Judy in there with the way he's been playing.
Yeah, that was a break for the Titans. As banged up as they are, that was a break for them. Actually, yeah, the Sutton catch is amazing. There were three catches like that yesterday, including maybe the best catch ever by Justin Jefferson at Buffalo. 4th and 18. Captain Kirk put up there where he can catch it, baby.
In all seriousness.
Unbelievable catch. And Stephon Diggs in the same game.
In all seriousness, some of the throws Kirk Cousins made yesterday, I was like, good gracious. He's pretty good.
Oh, Kirk Cousins can play, man. Captain Kirk, get out of his way.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. Plus, could the Titans maybe be in a little bit more of a race than we thought in the AFC South with Jeff Saturday coming in there with the Colts and getting a win? We'll discuss that next as well. But first, Michelle Knezvik has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Robbie. And it's worth mentioning, I just passed Robbie in our pigskin pick'em this week with my picks on the spread. And listen, when it comes to sports, it is all happening right now. But listen, we're going to talk football. We got Monday Night Football tonight. We got the Commanders and the Eagles. Eagles looking to stay undefeated. They're favored by 11 points. I do think that is a bit big. I think they win by about a touchdown, maybe 10. But I'm going to take the Commanders plus the 10. Plus the 11, but I'm taking the Eagles on the money line. But listen, football, basketball, hockey, and soon enough the World Cup. And there's no better way to place a wager on all of that than Superbook Sports. When you sign up, deposit, wager all in the same day, Superbook will give you a bonus up to $1,000. When the sports world is busy, it's time to get busy winning some money. So download the Superbook Sportsbook app or visit Superbook.com to wager and win today. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, the Titans get the win yesterday to improve to 6-3 and in the AFC South, and it's a good thing because Jeff Saturday and the Indianapolis Colts get it done as well in his head coaching debut. The Colts win yesterday 25-20 against Josh McDaniels and the Las Vegas Raiders. What'd you make of that? Jeff Saturday coming in his first game and taking down the Raiders.
Yeah, it's they seemed happy for a team that's supposedly tanking. They seem very happy. I mean, is Jim Irsay secretly stewing because this is all an elaborate plan to tank, or is he like, yes,
yeah, he looked pretty happy.
I got the guy.
He looked pretty happy in that locker room yesterday.
Yeah, so hey, man, Josh McDaniels, well, he can't possibly get another head coaching opportunity, right?
He's going to get fired in his first year.
Like, it just doesn't work, man. I mean, and again, you can always, I'm sure if you're Josh McDaniels or a member of his family or a very close friend, you could probably go to every situation and point all these other things that aren't his fault. But ultimately, like, at some point, I don't think it's a coincidence. That's just an utter embarrassment for the Raiders. This dude off the street who, again, I've heard some pretty – if you haven't seen the Joe Thomas takedown of that move on Good Morning Football,
yeah,
that's out there. Check it out. He makes great points. It's a total slap in the face that you're going to give this guy a head coaching job. And then they go win this game. It's just an absolute embarrassment for the Raiders.
Well, the Jeff Saturday tweet from a couple of weeks ago, where he was still, you know, employed by ESPN and an analyst. There's Raiders look horrible. That was the tweet from Jeff Saturday a few weeks ago. And that was all around it yesterday. Like, yes, they do, Coach.
Raiders look
Raiders
horrible.
Look really bad. I will come in here in 2 weeks and beat them.
And I take advantage. Oh, man, that's great.
Yeah, it was awesome. Matt Ryan back in there as the starting quarterback for the Colts yesterday. And he goes 21 of 28, 222, a touchdown. Had his career-long scramble yesterday as well with a 39-yard run. You don't think of Matt Ryan as someone who's physically capable of running 39 yards in an NFL football game, but he did yesterday, which, again, may speak to the Raiders and what's going on over there. But Matt Ryan back in there as the starter for the Colts yesterday, too.
Well, say this for Matt Ryan. He's better than Sam Ehlinger.
Yeah.
Can we all agree on that? So, I honestly, like, good for Jeff Saturday. Jeff Saturday obviously has some pull in that org already because, you know, it's Irsay's, oh, I believe in Ehlinger, you know. And Saturday comes in and says, now, let's go ahead and put the better quarterback in at quarterback. Let's try that one, okay? So, kudos to Saturday.
This has been a wild week, man, for the Colts. Wild.
Incredible.
Matt Ryan warming up yesterday and, like, Holder and Kiefer and, like, all these Colts riders like, well, let me just tell you. You don't base everything off warm-ups, but it looks like Matt Ryan may be the starting quarterback today.
Taking snaps from Ryan Kelly, yes. So, yeah.
It's like he may be starting today for the Colts, and they go in there and win. Now, it is the Raiders, and they are terrible. And Josh McDaniels, I think, legitimately has a great chance of being fired in his first year. What does this win mean for the Colts? What does it mean for the divisional race in the AFC South? If you're a Titans fan today, with Jeff Saturday coming in and them winning yesterday, do you still view the Colts as an afterthought after the way this year's gone? Are you worried about them making it a race? How are you viewing the Colts today as you sit here if you're a Titans fan?
Yeah. I mean, I think you're still feeling good. You know, you're still feeling good. But I wouldn't just completely dismiss them or ignore them. Because, look, As much as I agree with everyone who looks at the Saturday hire and says, it's a joke. Still, you have a coaching staff on hand. You have some good players. And sometimes stuff like this can give a team a big boost of energy. And look, Saturday is – like I think Saturday in terms of just the intangibles as a personality, he is a guy who I could see being an effective coach.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like maybe you should do a job a little bit before you get a head coaching job in the NFL. But, hey, he's in there.
He's undefeated, man.
He's undefeated. And they got a big win. So, they're worth keeping an eye on. I'd keep, just keep one eye on the Colts. You pointed out earlier that they're not, even though the Titans are also entering a very tough – the Titans are in their toughest stretch of the season. The Colts are also entering a very tough stretch. It's one of those stretches that, you know, going into the year – didn't look as tough as it does now.
Yeah. You got the Eagles, the Steelers, and then you've got the Cowboys and the Vikings if you're the Colts. So that's a four-game stretch that could give you some problems there if you're the Colts. So it may not end up mattering. I will say the one part of yesterday that made me kind of stand at attention a little bit, Jonathan Taylor, 22 carries, 147 yards, and a touchdown. He busted off the 66-yarder as well.
Mm.
It's almost like maybe giving him the football – could be a good plan offensively for the Colts.
What a novel idea. Yeah. Yeah, there's some things that are just basic common sense that you don't have to, like, grow up in the coaching profession forever to figure it out. So Jeff Saturday's a center, likes to run the ball. They ran the ball. Go with your best players. But here's the thing. Even that tough schedule, like, I mean, Philly is very good. But, they're undefeated. They're not some – I don't watch Philly and think, whoa, that team is – you can't mess with that team. Same thing with Minnesota. Minnesota is a great story, 8-1, and yesterday was an incredible game, and they're good. But, like, they could have three or four losses easily right now than they do, you know? So, it's worth keeping an eye on. Then they finish it out with, Chargers at the Giants and the Texans.
Yeah.
I suspect by the time we get to that, it'll basically be over. But if the Titans hit the skids here and can't keep winning all these close games while not even reaching 20 points, then it could get interesting.
It could. Some other news around the AFC yesterday. The Bills go down to the Vikings in what I think is unquestionably so far the game of the year in the regular season for this NFL season. But the Vikings win 33-30. Josh Allen played in that game, and the Vikings still go on the road and win in overtime. If you missed the end of that game, it was wild. I mean, the Bills looked like they've got it won. They basically just got to knee it out. They're on the one, so they try the quarterback sneak with Josh Allen. They fumble the snap, and Minnesota recovers it in the end zone for the touchdown. Then the Bills go back down the field and tie the game. You get to overtime, and the Kirk Cousins and the Vikings get all the way down the field. They kick the field goal. Josh Allen is marching right down the field. He's running people over and then throws one of the worst picks I think I've ever seen Josh Allen throw to Patrick Peterson, and Minnesota walks away with a win, 33-30. Crazy final ending of that game.
Yeah, like the view from behind the backfield of that pick, it's like, wait, why did you do that?
It was bad.
He kind of pats the ball, and by then it's like, okay, one, you definitely don't throw it there, but he did. So pretty wild that, you know, they would be what? They're the six right now? Buffalo's the six?
Buffalo's
the
six.
Is that what we figured out? Yeah.
Titans are the three.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
That'd be your first round matchup.
Yeah. Might want to figure out a way to change that.
They're in third in their division right now.
Yeah. Pretty amazing. I mean, the Dolphins.
Man.
See, the problem with the Dolphins is if they get into, like, is that offense going to, how's that going to look in a cold weather?
It's a great question.
They need to be in the college football playoff where, you know, we don't want to have any games in cold weather.
But no, the cold weather's bad for football.
That's never happened in football.
I mean, Tua looks pretty good right now, though.
Yes.
He's 25-32 yesterday, 285 and three touchdowns. And I realize it was against the Browns, but that division. Like, we had somebody ask earlier about coach of the year for Vrabel. And, like, I absolutely believe that he belongs in the conversation. I think he's doing every bit as good of a job this year as he did last year. I don't think he's probably realistically in the conversation when you look around the rest of the league. You got O'Connell in Minnesota. You got Sirianni in Philadelphia. They're undefeated. I mean, you've got Mike McDaniel with Miami. There's Brian Daboll with the Giants. I mean, there's a lot of different guys that you could point to for coach of the year stuff. But I will say what McDaniel has done with Tua and that offense is pretty incredible. Like, I get Tyreek Hill coming in.
Yes.
And it's made a big difference. But, I mean, if you watched the game yesterday, Tyreek Hill wasn't that good in the game. And they still just lit him up. Mike McDaniel, he's done a pretty good job there in Miami.
Yeah, no doubt.
Even though he looks like a high school chemistry teacher.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, sometimes that can work for you. But he's figured that out, and Tua, as we can see, can play. And Waddle in his second year to go, Hill, it's an incredible combination. But the AFC is it's way different than I thought it was going to be, that's for sure. And the AFC West is just, you know, supposed to be the greatest division in football history, and is not that at all.
By the way, the Jags fall yesterday to the Chiefs, so Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs take down the Jags. Mahomes with four touchdown passes yesterday. I think he's pretty clearly at the moment the leader in the clubhouse for MVP.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, Allen's hurting himself big time. Tua should be considered a candidate, and so should Hurts. I mean, you know, they're undefeated, and
yep.
Jalen Hurts has played extremely well. But what Mahomes has done post Tyreek Hill has been pretty special.
Give our final thoughts on the Titans. More of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at 1025 The Game Nashville. Find several pictures of Chase McCabe, maybe eventually some pictures of Joe on the Instagram account. We'll see if we can get that worked in there. At 1025 The Game Nashville on Instagram.
And videos of Joe TikToking.
Maybe so. Michelle is fighting through it in there, playing hurt. We appreciate you this morning, Michelle.
Yeah, you ever hit your knee just on the perfect spot and actually feel like you're going to pass out?
Oh, yeah.
Yep, so that just happened. Robbie heard me scream ow from the other room. But we're all good. We're living, we're breathing.
Playing through pain.
It's like Kentucky football summed up in one notion.
I didn't do it.
Yeah, I like Robbie more. Robbie gets brownie points for not saying anything.
I didn't say anything.
Hey, I told you I like Justin Fields.
That's true.
That's a big step.
We got a lot of people on the text line asking about Josh McDaniels and or Frank Reich being the next OC of the Titans.
Sure.
Big theme today about the OC. Sure.
Yeah. It's an interesting – yeah. The Frank Reich, I mean, we've talked about that already, right? The whole
– I mean, look at
basically
Josh.
Like his OCing is why he got fired. Not everything, but he left something to be desired.
Well, let's just think about it. One of the big reasons that he's no longer the coach of the Colts was maybe not giving the ball to Jonathan Taylor enough, and then you want to come be the offensive coordinator of an offense that has Derrick Henry? I don't know. I don't know if that's the right way to go.
Yep. Now maybe he'd come in here and, you know, Vrabel would say, we're giving the ball to Derrick Henry, and then once a fourth quarter, we're going to give it to Malik Willis and hope we don't fumble.
Well, maybe so.
By golly. So get on board, Frank. And McDaniel,
He gets fired, he's going back to New England.
I think Josh McDaniel should just go ahead and just
call up Bill.
Just stay in Foxborough and just everything goes well there, you know? You leave the friendly confines of Foxborough and it just all falls apart. Just you do a good job there, go back there. You may have to go to the Nick Saban car wash for a year because, you know.
I thought it was going to happen yesterday. I think Vic DeFore, friend of the show, tweeted out after the game yesterday. It's like, Mark Davis just walked in the Raiders locker room. I was like, oh boy, here we go.
Just fire him on the spot.
Fired 9 games in. But if this continues, I know it's his first year, so maybe you give him another year. I don't know. But with that franchise and that owner and the way it's gone so far, I could absolutely see Josh McDaniels getting fired his first year.
Yeah. No, that's a head-on-a-swivel situation for sure. By the way, Devontae Adams was great yesterday.
Yeah.
He looked like Devontae Adams. It's like, boy, it's too bad a guy like that couldn't be playing for a winning team.
Yeah.
Of course, he wouldn't be doing – well, he may be doing that in Green Bay.
He may be doing a little bit more winning in Green Bay if he's there.
Yeah, there might be a couple more wins on that bottom line, right?
Andrew on the text line says, I'm just thankful Russell Wilson sucks because there was a lot of open Bronco receivers yesterday. I don't know if there are a lot of open Bronco receivers, but certainly Russell Wilson's not very good. Some of the – he threw one behind – I can't even remember who he was trying to – it may have been Sutton. He was trying to throw the ball to Sutton. And, I mean, he was 3 yards behind him. And I was just like, what is going on with Russell Wilson?
Yeah, no.
Just a little off, way off.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, how some of these passes are getting away from him. There's decision-making badness, which he had too. Just chuck it and, you know, and hope something good happens. But also, there's just throws that – you know, you always expect Russell Wilson to just make, and he's weirdly off the mark. But I'd like to blame Nathaniel Hackett some for this too. Let's not let him off the hook. All I know is they're not necessarily stuck with him for a long time, but they are stuck with Russ.
Yes, they are.
Let's ride.
John on the text line says, as an OC, Josh does have a few rings. Could be a good hire. He just stinks at being in charge.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's always – and there we go. It's like, hey – great job being OC with Tom Brady in his prime. I mean, amazing OCing by you, Josh.
I think what we've learned since Brady has left the Patriots, that I'm not saying that Bill Belichick's not the greatest coach of all time. He probably is, but a whole lot of that was Tom Brady, I think we've learned.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that Josh McDaniels didn't do a good job as Patriots OC, but it's just hard to take that, what he did there, and then apply it to here where you don't have Tom Brady at quarterback. His prime.
Yeah. So, Joe, we've got obviously plenty of time to look ahead at the Titans and the Packers coming up on Thursday. But as I sit here today, the main question I have about this game is who's going to be playing in it? That's the main question I have about this game for the Titans. So when it's Jeffrey Simmons or whether it's Bud Dupree or Amani Hooker or Christian Fulton, David Long getting banged up in the middle of the game, like who's going to be available for the Titans on the defensive side of the football in this game? And, you know, Tannehill, he gets out there and plays and guts it out yesterday. You know, obviously that can't have felt great for him. My assumption is since he got through it yesterday, he's probably going to be playing on Thursday as well. But There's a lot of injury situations to monitor this week leading into the game against the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, who knows if the aggravation yesterday, you know, it ends up being a problem today for Tannehill. That's possible. Fulton seemed to be close, but with all these injuries, especially with stuff like that, like the hamstring, it's even worse to think about playing than in 20 degree or whatever the heck it's going to be Thursday night in Lambeau. So, it's going to be real interesting. It could be an absolute skeleton crew. It's possible that some of these guys could come back and then knowing that you have the 10-day break. But I'm going to guess. I mean, first of all, Hooker, you know, how long-term is that one? I mean, we're talking about a third game here in a row. He wasn't put on IR. David Long is a big one to watch here because –
they need him.
They need him badly. He does so much for this defense. Ties it all together, the guy with the green dot. And I will say that Monty Rice, that was an encouraging performance from him.
For sure.
They keep just bringing guys into the middle of that defense, and they seem to be doing okay.
Joe, as we wrap up
here. It's
a
great coaching, you know, exhibition here by the Titans.
It is. As we wrap up here, a lot of Titans talk today. We'll get to more of it coming up tomorrow. Big win for Vanderbilt over the weekend, taking down Kentucky. They're snapping a 26-game losing streak in the SEC, and you could see the emotions from Clark Lee after the game. Number one, that was pretty cool, just to see Clark Lee kind of let loose like that. But obviously, Mike Wright's performance, the way they were able to go into Kentucky and win that game, that's big for this Vanderbilt football program.
It really is, and I'm glad you brought it back to this all the way back. Full circle here, Michelle.
I didn't say
anything about Kentucky there.
This is about Vanderbilt.
All I have to say really quick is congrats to Jim Wyatt and Robbie Boren, and that is all I will say.
No, I didn't say a word.
And Clark Lee and the team, of course.
That's the thing. It's like, you know, I think Vanderbilt fans, first of all, they've had so little good news in any sport, and, you know, it's like even like Stackhouse's team loses to Southern Miss Friday. They might be bad, although Tennessee, too, losing to Colorado yesterday. Mm-hmm. What's up with the hoops in this state?
I don't know, man.
But you got to go to Kentucky for that.
Yeah, there you go. But, you know, progress has been pretty clear, I think, and it's been – I think it's pretty significant under Clark Lee, but getting an actual win – close losses are one thing, but actually finishing a game and getting a win is a big deal because some people just – they're not going to see it until you do that. So – and also just the work you put in to get a reward to actually beat an SEC team and a good program on the road. That's a big deal. Big deal for Mike Wright, too. Guy who has hung in there, lost his job, hangs in there, and I thought he was, for the most part, really good in that game, made some huge plays.
No, it was really cool to see him play the way that he did, both in the passing game but also the running game as well. And, you know, they got two games coming up, Florida and Tennessee. Tennessee one's probably not going to go well for Vanderbilt, but like I'm not ruling out them hanging in there with Florida. Like I think a lot of it depends on which version of Anthony Richardson shows up, but I'm not ruling it out that they could hang in there with Florida.
Yeah, if he has a wonky kind of day, which he tends to do sometimes, who knows? And hey, are the Vanderbilt fans out there thinking, ruin some playoff hopes in Nashville Thanksgiving weekend?
That would be really scary.
They could be thinking that.
They might think that.
615-737-1025. We'll be back coming up at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase Willie and D-Mace up next. You're listening to 1025-1063, The Game.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.